Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on the earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluest color of the Tamala tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruit of results. Please repeat. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna.
Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna.
He has appeared on this earth.
He has appeared on this earth.
In his transcendental body.
In his transcendental body.
Which resembles the bluish color of the Tamala tree.
Which resembles the bluish color of the Tamala tree.
His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems.
His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems.
Upper, middle, and lower.
Upper, middle, and lower.
May his glittering yellow dress.
May his glittering yellow dress.
And his lotus face.
And his lotus face.
Covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp.
Covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp.
Be the object of my attraction.
Be the object of my attraction.
And may I not desire fruit of results.
And may I not desire fruit of results.
When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. The attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautifully bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. Therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything materially created. Arjuna is described therein as the conqueror, and Krishna is described as his intimate friend. Bhishma Dev, on his bed of arrows after the battle of Kurukshetra, is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna, which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly, he admired his so-called enemy, Arjuna, for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishma Dev takes this opportunity to address the Lord as Vijaya Sakhi, the friend of Arjuna, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees, who are related with him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishma Dev. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relationship of Krishna in the chivalrous humor. Transcendental relationship with the Lord is one of the different rasas, humors. Is relishable by the receptive devotees in the highest respective devotees in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsels of Brajadam. Such a cheap relation with the Lord exhibits only the base mentality of the mundaner, because one who has relished conjugal humor with the Lord cannot be attached to worldly conjugal rasa, which is condemned even by mundane ethics. The eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord is evolved. A genuine relation of the living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishma Dev is a concrete example of this, and it should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related with the Lord. Sri Tribhuvana Kamanam Tamala Varnam Ravikara Guru Varam Varam Dadane Vapuralaga Gulabritananabdim Vijaya Sakira Tirastune Nivadya. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the Tamala tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruit of results. Oma jnana timarandasya jnana jnana salakaya chaksuru miratamina tasmai shi gurave namah Sri Chaitanya Manom Vistam Shapitam Inam Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svam Vatantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Srivastava Gaura. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'll read a few verses leading up to this. So this is the passing away of Bhishma Dev in the presence of Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna had come to the passing away of Lord Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev was describing to Yudhisthira Maharaj. He then explained by the visions the acts of charity, the pragmatic activities of the king, and activities for salvation. Then he described the duties of women and devotees, both briefly and extensively. Then he described the occupational duties of different orders and statuses of life, citing instances from history, for he was himself well acquainted with the truth. While Bhishma Dev was describing occupational duty, the sun course ran into the northern hemisphere. This period is desired by mystics who die at their will. Thereupon, the man who spoke on different subjects with thousands of meanings and who fought on thousands of battlefields and protected thousands of men stopped speaking and, being completely free from all bondage, withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide-open eyes upon the original personality of God, Sri Krishna, who stood before him, four-handed, dressed in yellow garments which glittered and shined. By pure meditation, looking at Lord Sri Krishna, he at once was freed from all material inauspiciousness and was relieved of all bodily pains caused by the arrow wounds. Thus all the external activities of the senses at once stopped, and he prayed transcendentally to the controller of living beings by quitting his material body. Bhishma Dev said, Let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which was so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leaders of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending in the material world, although from him only the material world is created. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the Tamala tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruit of results. So, this is the final lesson given by Bhishma Dev. He is a great Mahajan, so he is setting the example that actually the whole purpose of life is to actually develop attraction to the Supreme Personality of God. In the material world, everyone is attracted. Everyone is attracted by something. We see that this nature of attraction is called rati. This affection or attraction is there in every single species, not just in the humans, but in all the different forms of life, there is some attraction. And this is attraction is between the senses and the sense objects. So there are many varieties of sense objects. And here, Bhishma Dev is pointing out that may I not be attracted to fruitive activities. So the whole nature of the material attraction is for fruitive result. And this is very, very difficult to remove. Everything in the material world is motivated by some kind of result. Everybody wants to actually bring energy into his service, because energy is a very amazing thing. When we look at energy, we see there's so many varieties of energy. Just like we see that the sun energy is there, so people like to bring the sunshine to their service. That's why people go to a holiday, to nice beaches, to lie in the sun. That's why they're using solar energy. They're very much enthusiastic to go out into the sun. If you see when the sunshine is there, people are thronging out. If you go to the beaches all over the world, you find thousands and thousands of people Whereas when it's pouring down with rain, no one is going. Everyone is hiding. So, in the material world, the nature of the material world is that we are always trying to subject everything, to bring everything, to subject everything, so as it may offer some very nice service to us. And, of course, the highest principle of that service is in the form of sex life, because the female is able to offer so many wonderful services. Why do people marry? When marrying is such a tribulation, actually. Here, Leo, you're going to be with us the whole way. Also, can I have a verse, please? So, we see that in the material world, this phenomena, actually, when we study it very carefully, we see that this attraction for the female is so powerful. Just like I was seeing on my way here in the windows, they have these mannequins. Mannequins. So they have these nice breasts, nice shape. So people are very attracted, even though it's only a piece of plastic. Maybe it's not even made of plastic. Maybe something even more inferior. But because it has very nice shape, so automatically we're attracted because there is form. Form is very powerful. Form is a very powerful thing. We see how people are very much enamored by form. There's nice cars, nice shapes, nice curves in the car, and how the whole leather is nicely done. So much meticulous detail is there. So as to bring attraction. Obviously, if you just turned up with a pile of plastic and metal and put it all inside one big sort of bucket and brought it along with four wheels and an engine, who's going to buy it? You see? So everything has to be very nicely packaged, because that gives maximum amount of pleasure to the senses. So Krishna is the most beautiful package, you see, but he's not packaged because he's non-different from his body. But in the material world, everything is very nicely packaged. If you notice that, how everyone, even if it's a completely kind of useless toy or something, or you go into a shop, they give you water. So big, nice arrangement. The bottle is all different colors and a nice big badge on it or something. And then it's very wonderfully packaged. Everything is very nicely packaged. So that package attracts us because we want to bring the maximum pleasure to the senses. Therefore, we want everything in this to be very nicely presented. So that is the meaning of form. Form is the presentation of matter in the material world. The Maya, she creates so many beautiful forms, so many wonderful forms. Just like when you look at a child, it's a very beautiful packaging, very beautiful. Just right to melt the heart, isn't it? They have these cute little eyes and tiny little noses, and they have these mannerisms that only a child can have. So these particular things, they're priceless. They're priceless. You may buy a beautiful car, man may have a beautiful house and so many things, but the smile of the child is very capturing to the heart, very capturing. Or the beautiful whispering of the wife in the ear, just like the wife, she's speaking so many nice things in the ear. Oh, darling, you're so wonderful. So these are all very, they melt the heart. A man is ready to work like an ass, like a donkey, just in order to give her some pleasure, to bring her home very nice presents, to give her all sorts of wonderful service. So therefore, we see that the personal aspect of the material world is very, very powerful. As Prabhupada says, Julius Caesar is conquered by the movements of the eyebrows of Cleopatra. She actually had 10,000 boyfriends, according to history. So she must have had pretty powerful eyebrows. Because Prabhupada said she was conquered by that. So we see that the packaging is very good. She must have had a good package. Some of them, they don't have such a good package. So they're not going to get so much attraction. So this principle that Krishna is all attractive, as it says in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is one of the most important aspects of God. It is not something whimsical. when we say that Brahma, when he says that the son of Vasudev, obeisances on the personality of Godhead Vasudev directly indicate Lord Sri Krishna, who is the divine son of Vasudev and Devaki. This fact will be more explicitly explained in the text of this work. Sri Vyasadeva asserts herein that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all others are his direct or indirect plenary portions or portions of the portions. So we can understand in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva is establishing the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is directly Krishna. Now, the name Krishna, of course, means all attractive, that thing which can attract completely, absolutely. We see that in the material world, there is attraction. Just like I might be attracted to a very beautiful girl or woman, but then I see another girl more beautiful. So then I say, oh, time for a change, isn't it? Same thing is that if I get a car, just like George Harrison, he bought one car for £500,000. So obviously he'd seen all the other cars, but here was one better. And later on they'll come out with one car for £1,000,000. And he may buy that. Because the packaging, the way it is presented, the presentation of form and content. So we have quantity and quality. These are the two characteristics of the material world. There's a certain quantity and a certain quality of matter. Just like in a cosmic sense, we're attracted to planets because they're very vast, isn't it? Vast forms. Actually, planets don't do anything for us at all. If you look out into the cosmos and saw a bunch of planets floating around, they're not going to feed your stomach, or they're not going to necessarily give you any immediate service. But they open up your mind to the giganticness of nature itself. So you can appreciate the vastness of creation. Of course, even the atheists can appreciate the vastness. So we tend to be very enamored by something which is very, very great, very, very vast, or very, very small. Macrocosmic, in the microcosmic world, we're fascinated by the intricacies of the microscopic molecules or germs or so many different things. So these are the various practical, indications of the fact that the living entity is very much attracted to God in every way. It is not that actually we are never out of the association of Krishna at any time. We're actually never out of the association of Krishna. We are always in the association of Krishna. We are eternally in that association. But at the moment we are associating with Krishna in separation. In the separation. That Krishna has manifested himself in all of these varieties. Just like he says in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna explains that, behold my mystic opulences. So all of this material world is the mystical. Mystical, of course, that word for a devotee doesn't really exist. But generally, it's kind of mysterious opulences. That Krishna has amazing mysterious opulences. And they are very, very vast. And that's why Krishna explains that Bahunam Jamanamante Yanavamam Prapadyante, that after many, many lifetimes of assimilation of knowledge, because in the material world we are always trying to subject matter, we're trying to bring matter into our service. In order to bring it into our service, we need mastership over matter. We need to dominate matter. So all of these various forms in the material world, unless they're brought within our service, they're not of any real significance, although they may be admirable, just like the planets. We can't dominate the planets. So in one sense, they're admired, but they're not dominated. They're not actually that significant because they're not brought directly into our service. But if we notice with this particular planet, we are able to subject it to our service. Therefore, in the name of economic development, the advancement of science, the advancement of industry, the advancement of utilitarianism or whatever, we are able to bring subject matter, because matter by nature is an inferior product. So therefore it can be subjected, it can be transformed into various types of forms, shapes, objects, by which we can actually extract some service. So if we look around, we'll see that matter is the parent of psychology. Matter is the parent of psychology. That the material world is actually the master of our psychological activity. In the material world, everyone is dominated by matter. We are actually, although we are trying to bring matter into our domination, we become dominated. Just like a man feels very proud and puffed up, but he's dominated by a female. He's actually dominated. You see these big, big people. They're so big. They got big, big companies. They got huge enterprises. But they're completely at the peck of their wives. They're hen, what do they call them? Henpeck. They become dominated. The very object which they wanted to bring into their service actually brought them into their service. You see? This is the nature of Maya. Maya means not this. Not this means that thing which cannot be subjected to my service. Maya refuses to be actually subjected to our service. That's why she's always shifting. Chanchala. Maya is always chanchala. She's always shifting. She's always moving away, becoming more and more difficult. If we see the nature of fruit of activities, is that in the beginning, man is very, very enthusiastic in the youth and various periods of middle age or whatever. But then actually we see that very scientifically, as we get older, it becomes more and more difficult to keep up the struggle of subjecting matter. Because matter, by interaction of time, is transformable. It changes, it moves, it shifts. Therefore, we are existing on the shifting planes of time. So therefore, the whole thing is completely illusionary. It's totally and utterly illusory. Phantasmagoria. It is a castle in the sky. Because no one ever actually brings matter into his service because of the nature of limitation. The living entity is very, very limited. Therefore, the amount of service that he can extract, just like Prabhupada says, you may be a very big millionaire, but how many japatis can you eat? How much sex life can you have? Does it mean because you're a multi-millionaire that you can have sex from morning till evening? No. Utmost person with any mad sexual desire, he's still very, very limited. So, therefore, that attraction to material world, as Bhishmadeva is saying, let me be free, protect me from this tendency towards fruit of activities. This is the whole business of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is to get free from that dominating mentality, from that demonic mentality, that I should actually have anything serve me in this world. But we are actually the servant. That's why Lord Chaitanya, he came to show that we are a million times removed, the servant of the gopis of Braja. He didn't even say Krishna, he said the gopis of Braja. So the thing is, for the devotee must be equally enthusiastic to render all kinds of wonderful services to Krishna. Just like the materialist, he is very, very enthusiastic to bring the material world into all sorts of variety of services to his senses. That's his whole enthusiasm. That's his whole object. So here is a very nice example that to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it can be done in many, many wonderful ways. It is not just stereotype. Just like Prabhupada mentions that there's a class of devotees, they think that only if I'm a gopi, gopi club. They call it the gopi bhava club. So only if I'm a gopi and I'm pulling on Krishna's dhoti and kissing it and cuddling, this is my real attraction. But actually, this is the perversion of their sexual desires. Because Prabhupada says, if one is not qualified spiritually, then automatically we will again be trying to subject Krishna to fulfill some sort of perverted sexual desire. Because as long as we're not free from that anartas, the anartha is in the heart. What is the anartha of the heart? What is the anartha? The anartha is the dirty things that ahankara, vimurama, that I am this material body. Unless we're free 100% from the concept that I am this body, there's no question of entering into spiritual knowledge. There's no question of entering into the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. Because these pastimes are beyond matter. So you cannot bring anything material there to that plane. You cannot bring your dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten thoughts to that transcendental realm. So therefore, if you try to bring down the transcendental realm, then you will be guilty. You will be guilty of trying to subject God to your mental speculations or to your mental domination. And this is what we do in the material world. The whole idea of the material world is to subject the gross by using the subtle. We use our mental and intellectual capacities. That's why we're superior to animals. We're superior to animals because we can subject matter, and animals can't. Animals are subjected by matter. Just like the farmer goes out and gives the cow a kick, and he moves. But the next time the farmer comes, it's not that the cow would have arranged a booby trap so that when his leg comes up, this tree pulls him up in the air and he's stuck up there on a piece of cord. No, he has to take the kick because he doesn't have the intelligence. He doesn't have developed consciousness to actually make any adjustment. He has to actually endure. So the nature of matter is that we are enduring in the animal kingdom. All the way down from the human, they are simply being subjected to adi-devaka klesha, adi-bhautika klesha, adi-atmaka klesha. They are just being subjected. But the human being, because he has higher consciousness, more subtler consciousness, therefore he can, to some degree or other, make some arrangement. So therefore the tendency is that when we come to spiritual life, we also want to make some arrangement. But that is not spiritual life. We are here to be arranged. We are here to be subjected to Krishna's will. We are here to be enjoyed by Krishna. We are here to give our senses totally and utterly to His service. We're not here to pick Krishna's pocket or to find some way that Krishna can serve us. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he demonstrated practically because he knew that people will misunderstand the wonderful descriptions of Vedavyas. He knew that actually they will never understand Krishna's verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadhamma Pritya Mamikam Sarnambhaja, Ahantang Sarvapape Bhyo Mukshishami Masacha. He knew that they will not be able to understand what that surrender really is. So therefore he came personally to demonstrate that surrender. He came personally to demonstrate. And by his demonstration we see that actually Lord Chaitanya, in the Shishastika, these eight prayers, he demonstrated very practically what is the mood of the devotee. He says that, my dear Lord, you may embrace me roughly. You may make me brokenhearted. You may trample me down. This is the mood of the devotee. Because what is the mood of pure service is that you are totally and utterly at the mercy of the master. Total subjugation, total surrender. And therefore, that total surrender is completely imperative. It is completely necessary. Because if you don't, then there will be a tendency to try to bring out of envy, because the whole material creation is based on envy. We are envious of Krishna. Therefore, we will automatically try to somehow or other, in a very sneaky, deceitful way, we will try to bring Krishna into our service. And this is what this whole Gopi Bhava Club is all about. It's a matter of actually not understanding devotional service. Because why did Srila Prabhupada not, elucidate on these pastimes or emphasize these pastimes? Why? Lord Chaitanya would not discuss the pastimes of the gopis with any of his confidential associates, even though they were of the caliber of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. So only ones he would speak with is Ramananda Roy, Sarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, there was three, Saki Mata, Sikhi Mahiti. So the point is that Lord Chaitanya was showing by example that we have to be very, very careful with the so-called emphasis upon the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The reason there are 9 cantos before there are 10 cantos is because it is very, very necessary for total surrender. You have to totally surrender to Krishna. Now, if you don't understand Krishna, how can you surrender to him? If there's some sentimental idea, sentimentalism will not get you out of the material world. Because what is the nature of sentimental? It comes from the mental plane. And the nature of the mental plane is to always be desiring fruitive activities. The nature of the mind, if you study your mind, what has it done since the time you came out of the material world? It's just tried to bring everything to you for your sense gratification. Whenever you see someone, you're thinking, hey, can he render me some service? Can she render me some service? Can I exploit the situation? Can I bring this thing for my betterhood? In every sense, there's no question of being free from that tendency. We're not. We can't artificially move off that mental plane. You can't even get off the physical plane. We're completely stuck because the material nature itself, just like when someone asked Prabhupada, what is sannyas? Prabhupada, sannyas is to be in a room full of naked women and not be disturbed. That's sannyas. Because you may talk big high philosophy, you may indulge in all sorts of wonderful things, but if you are agitated by material objects, then that means you are completely on the physical platform. You're on the material platform. And the reason that Ramananda Roy could discuss Gopi Baba with Lord Chaitanya was because the example is given in Chaitanya Charamrita. He used to massage the young bodies of the Devi Dasis. They used to do the dancing for Lord Jagannath. So he used to prepare them. And he was a master of dance. He was a master of dance. So he had to show them all the movements. He had to get their bodies because they could do all these contortions and incredible kind of dance for Lord Jagannath. This was a very, very private thing. It's only done for the deity. Only the deity sees it. So he was preparing those Devi Dasis for that. So sometimes in order to get their bodies more supple, he would have to massage their thighs. So Prabhupada says that when he was massaging their thighs, it was like holding pieces of wood. Holding pieces of wood. So Prabhupada says, when you can do that, you can hold a woman's thigh, it's a piece of wood, then you can discuss Gopi Bhava. Okay? So if you want to know what is the qualification for discussing Gopi Bhava, is be able to hold a woman's thigh, or a young girl's thigh, 16 years of age, and massage it, and not be disturbed. Until then, keep away. So practically speaking, we should not try to approach this plane, because this is the most confidential plane. This plane of Krishna's pastime with the gopis is not to be in any way associated with something mundane. It's very, very dangerous. If you try to see it in any mundane light, then you will become a great offender. The Prabhupada says, one offense against the gopis and everything is finished. So therefore, one should be very, very careful. What is the old saying? That fools rush in where angels dare to tread. So this idea of Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service, this is not something which is you're trained up for. It is not something which you're prepared for. It is something which is the natural, spontaneous gush of flowing of the love of the living entity for Krishna. And this is demonstrated here by Bhishmadeva. Bhishmadeva was a fighter. He was a killer. His business was to chop people up. That was his business. He wasn't running around and Govardhan for the Sarion. He was a killer. So his business was fighting. So at the same time, what was the business is that he fought with Krishna. He fought with Krishna. And actually his ecstasy was to see the arrows go into the body of Krishna. These were like love bites, just like when you have a lover and beloved. They bite each other sometimes. They get a little carried away. They bite each other. So when he was shooting the arrows into the body of Krishna, he would go into ecstasy when the arrows would hit the body of Krishna. So this is not something which, if you went to some religion like Christianity and said, what is your service to God? Oh, I put arrows into his body on the battlefield. So this is the beauty of devotional service. Devotional service is not something stereotyped or something limited. It is unlimited because God is unlimited. Therefore, devotional service has to be unlimited. We should not put these sort of categories. Just like there are a group of Vaishnavas that say, "Ah, oh, Bhagavad Gita, this is inferior. Bhagavad Gita, this is just the foundation. We got to get into the juice, the nectar. This is the real stuff." Actually, Prabhupada always spoke on Bhagavad Gita, mostly Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. But he always spoke very, very clearly about many things which we may look at oh, this is some kind of mundaneness about it. This has some sort of, this is not the real juicy stuff, you know, like lying in the bushes, etc., etc. But actually, this is very, very serious misunderstanding. Because if God is absolute, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the absolute truth, then everything related to Him is the absolute truth. How can there be some sort of distinction that this is God and this is not God? Or this is Krishna consciousness, not everything. So therefore, this practical verse demonstrates that actually Bhishma Dev, he is a Mahajan. One cannot be higher. There are no swamis or gurus that are higher than Mahajan. There are only 12 Mahajan. That means he's one of the greatest authorities on devotional service. Now, if you study Prahlad Maharaj, he's also Mahajan. Yamaraj, also Mahajan. Do you hear any of them talking about what Lalita and Vishakha did this morning with Krishna? No. They're all speaking about the essential information which the living entity has to hear. And that essential information is to get the living entity from this demonic plane, from the demonic plane, from the psycho, physio-psycho plane, which we are now at the moment very, very, very much entrapped. We are very, very, very deeply, mama maya dharataya, devi yesha guna maya, mama maya dharataya. Material energy is unlimitedly powerful. It is not some fantasy just because you've chanted a few rounds and read a few books that now I can go and jump on Krishna's back and he's going to carry me to Govardhan. This is fantasy world. Fantasy. Where is something so cheap? Actually, it's quite the opposite. Just like the example of Lord Chaitanya when he visited the temple of Sri Ranga. There was one devotee there. He was actually illiterate. He couldn't even read. So naturally, if he couldn't read, he probably hadn't read any of the Shastras. And his Guru Maharaj told him to read one chapter of Gita every day. So he would sit there with his Gita and he'd go through page to page, page after page. So he would start sometimes crying. He was crying. So these tears were rolling. And there was a whole bunch of people who would take the mickey out of him because they thought this was hilarious. This guy, he sits down there every day reading the Gita like this and he can't even read, you know. Because his Guru Maharaj told him to do it. So Lord Chaitanya said, oh, what are you doing? So he thought, for a moment, of course, so many people take Mickey out of him, so he thought, oh, this is another one going to make fun. But then he realized, no, no, this is a very great personality, Lord Chaitanya. So he said, oh, my dear Prabhu, I am just simply following the order of my Guru Maharaj. He has told me to read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. I'm doing it. He said, but Lord Chaitanya said, but I notice sometimes you're crying. Oh, he said, oh, this is also true. Sometimes I cannot help it. I'm crying. So the Lord Chaitanya said, why are you crying? He said, because whenever I think of Krishna, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the Parameshwara, he has become the menial chariot driver to Arjuna. He said, then my whole body, I become overcome. I cannot fathom the mercy of Krishna, how he could become such a thing. So he said, I just cried. So Lord Chaitanya embraced him. And tears rolled down Lord Chaitanya's eyes on his back. He said, you are the one who's really understood Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is to understand the love between Krishna and his devotees. That love is unlimited. It is unlimited. It is not limited to a particular rasa. There are five rasas. And each of those rasas are absolutely perfect and complete. The personality of God, it is perfect and complete. So therefore, naturally, all of his rasas and interaction with God, they are perfect and complete. Absolutely complete. There's no incompleteness in the spiritual world. Just like in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Hanuman was Murari Gopa. So he could never become a devotee of Krishna. Even though Lord Chaitanya tried everything, he actually was always completely surrendered to Lord Ramachandra. So, in that sense, there are so many devotees who have particular relationships with Krishna. It is not that one is superior, one is inferior. These are mundane estimations. These are not accepted here by Srila Prabhupada. And the love that Bhishma Dev felt for Lord Krishna, it is also very transcendentally ecstatic. Bhishma Dev, when he was seeing the glow coming from the beautiful dress, because his ecstasy was to see Krishna as a warrior, So therefore, he would become ecstatic to see Krishna dressed with his armor or as the charioteer to see Krishna with his beautiful flowing hair and his in his Kshatriya mood. So the Kshatriya mood is there in God. All of these moods, they are there in God. That's why we have them. Here in the material world, they are pervertedly reflected, but they are there. Everything is within Krishna. That's why we are experiencing it here in the material world. So therefore, if Krishna has unlimited Advaita, Achyutam, Anadam, Ananta Rupa, if he has unlimited forms, then there must be unlimited devotees who interact with him in unlimited ways. So you can't say that there's some exclusive club that we belong to, and all other clubs are not acceptable to us. This is actually not what Prabhupada was teaching. Prabhupada did not emphasize that we were all some sort of Madhurya rasika, and that all other types of rasika is somehow inferior or somehow subservient to that. Because this is not actually what Vaishnava philosophy is speaking. Of course, the highest rasa in terms of because you see, each rasa is giving a particular type of pleasure to Krishna. We serve Krishna with our senses. So there in Shanta Rasa. But if we try Kanjuga Rasa, then Sita, Mother Sita, may become upset because that's her rasa. So therefore, in the particular pastimes of Lord Rama, there is not Madhurya Rasa. So in that sense, that only in Krishna Rasa Lila, there is Madhurya, this Parakiya Bhava. But at the same time, this Parakiya Bhava is not something which is only to be studied by the devotees. This is not a true thing. Of course, if one has that attraction to Parakiya, then he may, or to Gopi, Madhurya Rasa, then that will automatically come. There's no need. Actually, Prabhupada even said that Raganuga Bhakti is not simply a gift from some guru. Raganuga Bhakti is the eternally spontaneous outflow of the soul. So it doesn't, it's not a product of sadhana bhakti. It's beyond sadhana bhakti. But you have to actually perfect sadhana bhakti before you can move on to raganuga. You can't just simply skip over sadhana and go straight into raganuga. This is like trying to run before you can even... It's like taking a baby out of a pram and putting it in the 100 meters Olympic race. You understand? The child hasn't even learned to walk. So Prabhupada always used to say in morning walks, be very, very careful. First you learn to walk. Step, and then he used to show us how you put one step forward and then the next step and the next step. Don't try to run, don't try to be artificially advanced, then it will all become cheapened, because what you're doing basically is that you will miss the whole point. The whole point is that Trinada Pisa Nichena. The whole point is that actually, as Lord Chaitanya says in his Shastika, he says, Trinada Pisa Nichena, Trinada Pisa, Marina, Marina, Ketanya Sadai. One can chant the holy names of the Lord in a very humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. What to speak of thinking you're a gopi? What to speak of thinking that you're on the plane of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami? But he's not even saying that you should be even a straw in the gutter. If you want to know what you should feel like as a devotee, then the next time you're in the gutter, have a look for a few little straws in there. And that's the mood that you approach Krishna. So don't think because you have done some service, because you've done your sadhana for so many years, therefore now let's jump into the raganuga like it's some sort of cheap thing. Actually, it's very, very rare. Prabhupada said first, and he became very angry. I was there in 76 in L.A. when this whole Gopi Bhava thing came up. Prabhupada became very angry, and he was thumping his hand on the table. He said, first you deserve, then you desire. First you deserve. So he was angry. How can you desire something when you don't deserve it? Then it's rascaldom. You think Krishna has some difficulty giving you Raganuga Bhakti? You think there's difficulty for Krishna to give you Mahabhava or to give you Prema? He has some... It's like you think that Krishna, if he wants to give you this thing, that he somehow, having difficulty, like if I want to give you 5,000 pounds, it's going to be a big difficulty, isn't it? I don't have it. You think Krishna doesn't have bhava to give you? The spiritual world is an ocean of bhava. It's an ocean of prema. It's a prema. Why would there be difficulty giving it to you? If you deserved it, you'd have it. There's no question. There's no material condition for devotional service. Rupa Goswami says it clearly. There are no material conditions to stop you having love for Krishna. So the point is that it's not though that you can desire something that you don't deserve. You see? What happens is that unfortunately, because we are very much a victim of the material energy, we tend to want to cheat. This cheating process is very powerful in Kali Yuga. And that's why at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to be a Vaishnava was actually considered very, very degraded. Because there were so many gopis running around, all having this wonderful relationship with Krishna, who happened to be some guy dressed up with a flute and a peacock, and having midnight orgies in the name of some sort of conjugal rasa. This was going on in Bengal. There were so many the bowls and so many different groups that were engaged in complete debauchery in the name of Vaishnavism. So that's why, actually, Lord Chaitanya's movement was ruined by this Sahaja. The Sahaja movement, it ruined Lord Chaitanya's movement because it cheapened everything. It cheapened it. We are not to cheapen Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada made it very clear. You chant your 16 rounds, follow the regulated principles, read the scriptures very, very, very carefully, and render some very nice service to Krishna, and you will go back to home, back to God. There's no question. But if you want simply to grasp something very cheaply, as if it's been given out, like some sort of confetti, or like the Pope gives blessings from the, what do you call it, from the balcony in St. Peter's Square, this is not the process of devotional service. The process of devotional service is epitomized by great devotees like Bhishma Dev, Hanuman, Arjuna. Why is it that all our books are dealing with these type of devotees? Isn't it? If you read all the shastras, you find the stories of Arjuna, battlefields, Bhishma Dev, Hanuman. They are all the devotees of the Lord. So according to Krishna's desire, that way you will serve. You don't serve Krishna as you desire. You serve Krishna as He desires. That is the main difference between the spiritual world and the material world. In the material world, we want to serve. We want to serve in a mood of exploitation. Like, for instance, I say, okay, I'll serve my wife because she gives me nice sex life and nice foodstuffs, whatever, whatever, whatever. But another woman, I won't serve her. Because everything, this service in the material world is contaminated by the three modes of material nature. So everything in the material world is contaminated by lust, greed, hankering, exploitation. So these are the great enemies of the soul. So it's not that we go to spiritual world to serve Krishna as we desire. We're not to go there to make some bargaining with Krishna. We're not there to go bargaining with Krishna. Surrender means that you surrender to Krishna according to His desire. His desire means that according to particular rasa that you have, your eternal rasa with Krishna, that will be automatically manifested, just like the story of Gopa Kumar. If you read that, you see that he traveled throughout the entire creation, throughout the whole Goloka, from the Vaikuntha planets. But he came to his eternal position as the coward boy of Krishna. So it's actually, even though Maya tried so many distractions, even though the inhabitants of Vaikuntha tried to distract them. But they couldn't. Nobody could distract them. Because it's beyond all of these things. It is directly your individual relationship with Krishna. And that individual relationship will be realized when you are on the platform of pure, unalloyed love of God. When you reach the level of prema. So until that level, why worry? We don't have to worry with these things. What we have to worry is how can I get rid of my anattas? How can I get rid of my bodily consciousness, my mental consciousness? How can I free myself from these anattas which are in the heart? Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, Mami Jambani Jambani Ishwari, that you are my Ishwara. You are my Lord, birth after birth, birth after birth. The devotee's not thinking, oh yeah, I have some, I'm such a great devotee, that why is Krishna waiting around? I should be there already. I'm so wonderful. I'm so perfect in my devotional service. What's up, Krishna? Did you miss me or something? You know, you got some problem? You have some imperfection? You didn't see that I'm such a pure devotee? That I should be there with Lalita and Vishakha? I mean, your whole spiritual pastimes must be having difficulty without me. They must need me. I need to be there. This is not our consciousness. This is our audacity. How can we even dream like that? That we have some position that is to be immediately recognized by Krishna. Krishna is God. He has no trouble recognizing anything. He doesn't need education by you. He doesn't need some assistance from you to recognize. Who are you? So therefore, Prabhupada said, do something to become recognized by Krishna. Don't try to see Krishna. Prabhupada always used to say that. Don't try to see Krishna. Don't become proud. You're dealing with Radha and Krishna. Don't try to see Krishna. Do something that Krishna will recognize. Oh, here is my devotee. Just like Bhishma Dev. Immediately, Krishna recognized, here is my devotee. He wants to play with me with arrows. Okay, let me play. So therefore, Bhishma Dev, he wasn't doing any, what do you call it, sadhana bhakti or chanting or anything. But because he was pure, his heart was completely 100% surrendered to Krishna. Therefore, despite the so-called sort of mundaneness of his activity, actually his activity is on the absolute plane, it is the same activity. That is the meaning of achintya bheda abheda tattva, isn't it, Vince? The meaning of achintya bheda abheda tattva is that these pastimes are all simultaneously one and different from each other. Variety is not inferior or superior in the spiritual world. In the material world, that variety is considered superior or inferior according to our mundane estimation. But in the spiritual world, variegatedness is absolute. It's absolute, whether you're actually engaged in one pastime or another. In the absolute sense, these are all simultaneously one and different. That's why the Maya bodies have so much difficulty with spiritual variegatedness, because they can't separate it from this idea that in the material world, diversity means inferior experiences. Just like eating a big feast is superior. Eating, a piece of rice with a little bit of dal may be considered inferior. But that's because we are living in the world of relativity. In the spiritual world, this type of relativity of higher and lower, these are not existing. So therefore, the spiritual world is incomprehensible, inconceivable. So if it's inconceivable and incomprehensible, that means it's beyond our jurisdiction. We cannot inspect it. It is not within our inspecting jurisdiction. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. So God is the transcendental autocrat. He's beyond your inspection. He's beyond your subjugation. He's beyond your so-called mental deliberations. So therefore, his pastimes are also beyond that. So don't try to bring some mundane subjugation to his pastimes, that this is superior, this is inferior, this is better, this is not so good. You see? Because then you will be, again, you will be transferring the mundane to the spiritual. So you will be guilty of actually a great offense. This is like a diseased man who's got jaundice trying to understand how sugar is very sweet. In jaundice condition, it is impossible to understand that sugar is something sweet. Because sugar in jaundice is very, very horrible. If you take sugar, it's very horrible. So therefore, similarly, in the material world, because of this higher and lower types of experiences, the dualities, therefore we automatically, when we try to transfer our consciousness to the spiritual world, we see it in some sort of higher and lower plane. That these things will be higher, this will be lower. This is all rubbish. This is all material considerations. And that's why the spiritual world cannot be brought down for your inspection. It cannot be brought down. You can't bring it down here to have a look at it. So if you want to see, you have to study it from the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. Therefore, it is revealing the transcendental nature of Krishna. And it should be studied very carefully in order to understand. And that's why these pastimes, as with Bhishma Dev, etc., they're very, very extremely important pastimes to understand. Is there any questions at all? Well, the thing is with matter is a separated energy. So the inferiority of matter is that it is, if you like, in one sense, disconnected from the service of Krishna. Disconnected. Just like Prabhupada said, when you take a plant out of the ground, it turns yellow. Because it's disconnected. You understand? Disconnected. So, just like your body, Prabhupada said, this achintya bheda abheda tattva can be understood. Just like your body is one sense, it's you, but it's not you at all. Adiduhi. But because there is connection, therefore it has some sort of superiority. So the material world has connection, has superiority because it's connected with Krishna. But at the same time, it's disconnected. That's its inferior. So it's simultaneously one and different. As Krishna says, everything is resting on me, but I am not in it. Behold my mystic wonders. So the material world, material energy, it's inferior on account of its separation. Then it takes on its superior. Just like a plug is a useless thing, but when you connect it with the wall, it becomes useful. In the material world, yes, there shouldn't be duality. Although duality exists, but the thing is that for the devotee, the material world, he does not matrishpashas tukuntaya shitoshna sukadugada. As Krishna says, that in the material world, these dualities of happiness and stress, they're like the coming and going of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception of sainabra, and one must learn to tolerate them and not be disturbed. So the devotee, he is a visitor here. He has no business here. Just like Prabhupada says, when you go to the toilet, do your business and get out. Don't hang around. You have no business here. So someone goes to the toilet, doesn't expect to have a beautiful experience in the toilet. You don't go in the toilet hoping that, you know, you're going to bump into all these sort of wonderful, nice, tasty things to enjoy. You go to the toilet to evacuate. And once you've done it, you get out because the smell is so bad. So that's the material world. You've come here to pass through and get out. So don't take so seriously your stool passing. Problem is that everyone is thinking, I am this body. So therefore, this stool business is very important. That's the problem. We think that all these things we do here are very, very important. But actually, we are animals. We're here to behave like animals. The business of animal is to satisfy his tongue, his belly, his genitals, his eyes, his nose, his ears. There's animal activity. So we have become subjected to that. The problem is that we don't want to move away from the toilet. So we are just like the fly. If you go into a toilet, you'll see the fly. His only business is to hang around the stool. So that is the materialist. The materialist is always looking for different types of stool. Warm stool, cold stool, mixed stool, whatever stool. So that's it in a nutshell. The material world is the stool of the Lord's creation. And if you want it, have it, hang around. And if you don't want it, get out. The choice is yours. But don't try to see the stool as something superior. Nothing happens automatically. Nothing happens automatically. That's impersonalism. Nothing happens automatically. What happens is that you have freedom of choice. You can continue in the material world eternally, or you can get out and go to the spiritual world eternally. So you're either nityabandha, eternally conditioned or eternally liberated. The choice is yours. You have a choice. Just like now, you have a choice. You can either take the Krishna consciousness or you can go away. But you can't just go away and then say, oh, I'm going to go back to Godhead anyway, so I might as well go away. That's what sort of nonsense is that? I don't know what you're quoting. I read that. I find the quote a little bit out of context. Yeah. I mean, the point is that yes, the living entities go back to Godhead, but it may take them eternity. So if you've got eternity to wait, fine. Hang around. I'm not going to get any easier. But the point is that it's just like the chance of going back to Godhead is said that it's like a turtle in the ocean. Suppose a turtle in the Atlantic Ocean was to come to the surface from the bottom of the ocean and it was to find a piece of wood with just the right hole that it could get through and onto the top. That's the actual chance of you getting out, meeting a pure devotee of the Lord in the material world. So the chances of, you see, you've been in the material world, Prabhupada says, since time immemorial. So if you were to calculate it, immemorial means that billions upon billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of lifetimes. So if you want to stay around another billions upon billions upon billions upon billions upon billions upon billions upon trillions upon trillions upon trillions upon lifetime, fine, go ahead. No problem. The material energy will be here, and you'll be here. No problem. That's your choice. But if you want to get out, you better start working on it right away, because Maya is not exactly there just to sort of like be your servant and sort of say, okay, you want a few more lifetimes, okay, well, let me know when you want to get out and I'll make all the arrangements. She's not there to do that. She's there to cover you over and drag you down. Maya's service is done when you're in the lowest pathetic position as possible in the material creation. Then she's done her job. So when you're down there, I mean down there, really, really down there, then Maya's happiness increases. So she's not exactly the best person to be hanging around with. Maya's there to keep you in the material world eternally. That's her service that Krishna inconceivable as it is. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.